Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Allen going to roll left, looking for someone in the end zone, and now Shovel passes it, complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown from 5 yards out. Pitch play to the left to Cook. Blockers in front, has a hole, and he threw it. 40. 50, and just tackled from behind by the final defender at the Miami 41-yard line, or he would have been G-O-N-E gone.
To me, it's the same James Cook. The guy just attacks every time he touches the ball. He looks like he's been shot out of a cannon every time he touches it.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It takes a full team effort. It's hard to win in this league every week. That's a good team, an explosive offense. So to come out here on Thursday night on a short week and get it done, feels good.
It's a screen pass to Shakir. Has a blocker in front, racing to the end zone, and he's in. It's a 15-yard screen pass for a touchdown.
I thought the grit, the mental toughness of our football team was on display throughout the game, in particular in the fourth quarter there.
Back to pass, fires, it's intercepted. Picked off by Terrell Bernard. Coming the other way and out of bounds at the 40-yard line. Terrell Bernard, Mr. Fourth Quarter.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi there. Beautiful day. Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Are we flying? Are we dragging?
I feel great.
I
don't know.
You will have a crash.
I imagine that will happen.
You need this hometown fuel.
Yeah, I don't know. I had, you know, the day cleared. I like to get up and work out in the morning, but I thought, you know, whatever. We didn't get home until 1:30. 2:30 to bed, you know, and I woke up at 8 like I usually do, and fully intended. I even got back in bed. I got up to use the bathroom, and I got back in bed. I was like, I can sleep till like 10. I got nothing. You know, don't be so hard on yourself. Skip the workout today. And I just was lying there. I'm like, I'm awake. This is when I get up. I don't know. My body's telling me to get up. So I got up, and I feel good. I feel good. Only two beers all day and night. Well, I mean, day we were working, so there wasn't going to be any beers while we were working.
No, of course.
But only two beers and all good. So yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling peak actually.
So was it like really fun?
I would say it was really great to be in the bowl.
It was a good game for that.
For the game, yeah.
You want it to be close.
The seats were,
I think.
I mean, they weren't the best seats, but they might be the best seats I've ever sat in for a football game, like 35-yard line, 15 rows up, 17, row 17. So high enough that the sideline isn't a problem, and near enough the middle of the field that there's no real, you know, there were a couple of runs where like, oh, did he get the first down? Oh, yeah, he got the first down, you know, like down at the far end of the field.
When I had season tickets, I was on the visitor side, which I liked because of the sunshine on a, only played day games when I was going. Like when you're on the visitor side and the plays you're talking about would have been to the left. Like the Shakir touchdown you just heard would have been
on running away from me, as far away from me as possible.
On the near side, but all the way on the left. And plays down there, you sort of watch them, then you have to sort of jerk your head back up to the scoreboard on the right. Like you have to sort of go back and forth. On the home side, small point, or not that small, when you're on the home side, that happens, but the scoreboard, you know, if you're on like the other 35, sort of diagonal from where you're sitting, the play is diagonal from you, but the scoreboard is the same direction. So you sort of just look out and then up.
Well, that's where I was. I was on the tunnel end of the 35. So the scoreboard was in my field of vision for the, like, so the Shakir play was, that's why I was saying it was as far away from me as you could get from where our seats were.
Okay.
Because we were, like, the Kincaid play was right in front of us. The touchdown, the first score of the game for the Bills. So that's where we were. And as it turned out, I was almost in line with Tyreek Hill's spot on the bench.
Yeah, you wanted that.
I did.
My mistake in before was thinking like you were on the other 35, but on the same side.
Right.
That's where I used to sit.
Okay.
Or the 30.
Yeah. So there was nothing too dramatic to report. There was, there's a lot, there's drama there. Like he comes to the sideline and there's a play, incomplete pass where he stumbles. Benford had a handful of jersey on the play. I don't know if they showed that on TV or not, but they got away with one there, but it's an incomplete pass. And he fell and he came to the sideline, like his groin, it looked like he was hurt. And he was really frustrated, and like a team of people sort of like, you know, consoling him. And then he went right back in. It looked like he might be out for the
just
year.
Just like Benford.
Right. But there was one exchange after Tua botched that snap, and that killed the drive.
So that's right in front of you.
Yeah.
That play's right
in front of me. And then Hill's on the bench. And as Tua's walking by, like he did not walk by. He didn't look like he wanted to engage with Hill, but he's walking by. And he stops because it looked to me, I would assume Hill said something to him. And they had an exchange. It didn't look fiery, but it also didn't look like super, you know. I couldn't see Hill's on the bench. I could see his head. I could see his head moving, talking to Tua, and Tua's talking back at him, and it lasted about 35 seconds, and he walked off. I thought that might be the moment. Like, am I going to get something here? But it sort of fizzled. And I even Googled to see if there was any, like, if Dolphin fans or reporters were, like, you know, focused on this exchange. Because Hill, that's the only time I saw him talk to Tua all night.
Well, when he scored, they celebrated on the sideline.
Okay.
NBC, sorry, Al Michaels, Prime had that.
Okay.
Like they embraced at the sideline, 21 all.
Good. Okay.
Tua should have done when dropping the snap what Allen did, just toss it to the ref and have the play be whistled dead. I caught that. I mean, like immediately, this play isn't over. What is the ref doing catching that ball? They just took for granted that it's Josh Allen, so he must know.
He's above
reproach in this league that he can fumble a snap and just toss it to the ref, and the ref just catches it and blows the whistle.
He meant to kneel.
He just meant it, guys.
he meant to kneel. And he kind of kneeled, but without the ball. He didn't have the ball when he kneeled.
Where's replay assist on that?
Right.
I guess it doesn't matter. It's only when they want it.
Yeah.
But anyway,
there's your Tua report. Or excuse me, Tyreek Hill report. I almost forgot. Someone, you know, we were in our seats early enough. I was scrolling and someone said, "Don't forget to look for Tyreek Hill." I'm like, thank you, because I had already forgotten. Like, I got in there and I was just like, well, this is so cool to be in here again. I'm talking to people and just hanging out. I completely forgot about, like, I have a job to do. I said I was going to do this thing. And I tried my level best. Anyway, it was great being in there. It was great.
The show won't be about the Dolphins, but the coach shouldn't be getting fired. Like,
I wouldn't think so.
They drew up third downs. I mean, they moved the ball against the Bills. And, you know, that's something to talk about. We've got an extra day and then next week to talk about what that is, because a lot were leaving Miami for dead. But that happened. I mean, the Bills played. The Bills did their thing. They stayed back. Everything was short. Both quarterbacks, it was pointed out, like set a record game in recent years for throwing such short passes. The Bills come off like they can do whatever they want. And I want to take it slow on that because I don't know. It's still so early in the season, and we've been talking about the Jets and the Dolphins and the division in general as teams that are just going to be pushovers, and the Jets were. The Dolphins weren't, but the Bills still scored 31 points and scored on most possessions. They had that stretch in the second half where, I mean, Allen under pressure in this game was not what he's been normally under pressure. Like, this was not a game where he sort of shot out of the pocket and took off or found, you know, crossing routes, found guys. He struggled when Miami got through and they made it tough on him. But you still have, like, that's what is the greatness of the Bills is. Like, they have certain challenges in games, but still overall thrive.
Yeah, I mean, once they scored on their first possession to match Miami's first score, they never trailed in the game again. they got tied twice, but they never trailed. And yeah, their opportunity to sort of make the game to make the game what I and maybe a lot of people, but I don't need to lump a lot of people. And I thought the Bills were going to smash them, and the opportunity to do that was back to back three and outs in the second half by the defense, and the Bills got the ball back and went tit for tat with three and outs. Like, they could not move the ball for that pocket of the game. But eventually, you know, they got the lead, and then Miami tied it, and then they needed another score. They went and got another score. But yeah, it was like a strange game in that way. Like, Miami, they moved the ball. Like, they were effective 10 of 15 on third downs. I mean, holy cow, that's a horrific conversion rate.
See, how is that possible when they're screaming third down and riling the fans up?
Right. But Miami only had 130 yards passing or 146 yards passing, 130 yards. 276 yards is not you didn't get stomped on, but third downs, they just kept drives going enough to, you know, make the game interesting.
Well, that's what I was saying before, like how the Bills play it. They forced Miami into long drives because they would not give up anything deep to those guys. And that makes sense. The Dolphins, like the Dolphins' performance reminded me of when the Bills' drought was happening. And I would sometimes just be like, losers lose, because they were often not terrible. And they, even with New England, like they'd be in games, but they would do certain things. They would fail to capitalize on certain, you know, on the edges or just like certain mistakes. That's exactly what Miami has to talk about, to chew on today, is, I mean, the roughing the punter.
Right.
But also just like the pick. The pick is a function of, you're not going to beat us deep. You're going to have to drive the field. They did that three times to touchdowns, but the fourth time, eventually, there was that one mistake, and that's it. And so that's kind of the point there. But like, if we're Miami and it's 2009 or one of these years, I'm going, how do you have Hill and Waddle and not be able to figure out route patterns to draw penalties? You know, like, Trey White's getting beat. I mean, anytime Waddle wanted to beat Trey White one-on-one, he did. Who knows how many other times it happened, he just didn't get the ball. Then you have Tyreek also, even with Benford. Like, those are great players. And as a coach, I got to figure out ways to cross up that defense, and I can get an illegal contact. You know, I'm the underdog. I'm the road team. In a certain way of thinking, that should be to my advantage. Like, I should be able to get calls on a TV show where they would rather have it be a close game. But even without any sort of conspiracy point, it never happened. Like, they could not get, they got their half dozen or few or around that kind of number of plays from each guy, but nothing more than that. They're also trying to, you know, run the ball and keep the ball and do what they were doing in that way. So it wasn't like they threw constantly. But that, to me, that's sort of a failure on coaching when you can't draw penalties with players like that who are so fast and elusive. But I mean, the block, the roughing the punter, rather, is more obvious, and the interception. I mean, those are the two big failures by the Dolphins in the game. And maybe the Bills win anyway. Like, you talk about how Miami didn't get the lead back. Well, they get the ball there on that punt if they don't rush the punter. And I don't know why anybody is still bothering to rush the punter. Like, what do they think is going to happen there? Like, you're more at risk of a fake if the Bills want to run a fake. And in that case, I don't want to be rushing the punter. I want to be sort of wary of a fake.
Like, I think that was the big moment in the game. I mean, we don't know what would have happened, but I know how it felt sitting there in the stadium. Like, everyone around me was pretty tense at that moment, even though the Bills, you know, it's a tie game, and I'm continuing to not be able to move the ball. And you'd like to think, like, well, when I really have to, I will. But whatever. I mean, put this thing away already. And they couldn't until they did. And then they did. You know, it's one of those. But, yeah, the punt, I think the block, the fake block, oh, my God. The roughing the punter penalty. I guess I'm not that sharp. I feel good, but maybe I'm not sharp.
I've done it, too.
I don't know. That was, I think, the biggest swing in the game. Next to the interception. I mean, obviously the interception like sealed it, but by that point you're already in front by seven. I mean, Miami, I guess, could have scored a goal for two and taken the lead back.
That would have been interesting.
I doubt that they would have done that, but they could have. As an underdog, like you're saying, maybe they would have thought, like, this is our chance. Let's take it.
I would have absolutely. Maybe they score with like a minute left and are kicking to Allen. Like, I would have, for their sake, wanted them to do it. But we don't know. The Bills, so, I mean, you talk about what the Dolphins threw for. Tua was 146. It's weird right now in the NFL, and it's weird with the Bills. The Bills are a great example of it. Allen throws for 213. What was last week?
One something.
150?
Yeah.
Even, you know, I mean, they didn't need to play the fourth quarter last week, but here's a game where they score 31 points, and offensively they're very efficient for the most part. And he's throwing for 213, 22 for 28, 213 and 3. No turnover. Imagine a Bills turnover. Who can? No interceptions, no fumbles, 4 for 25
on the
ground. It was
jarring that he got sacked twice.
I know.
that's a lot of sacks in a Bills game against the Bills.
Right now, I think to put it one way, the essence of the Bills offense, if not their team, is the tight ends. Like, it's an extension of last year. 2 years ago, Joe Brady takes over around, you know, Thanksgiving, whenever it was, and they changed. They went to a running team. Cook breaks out. They rough up Dallas. They beat the Chiefs. Then they blast Dallas and make it all the way to the playoffs. And they're, you know, they're shorthanded defensively. They lose the playoff game, you know, and somewhat controversially, this is the home game on the two plays before the missed field goal, where Kansas City then sort of kneels out the game. But they change their identity, if you will, like in those weeks. And so what happens in 2024? Well, why wouldn't they continue that? And they did. And you end up with a season where Cook breaks out, 16 rushing touchdowns, 30 rushing touchdowns for the team, 30 points a game. And how did they do it? They didn't run the extra linemen so much more often than other teams. Like, they were closer to the middle of the pack for that than, you know, anything sort of extreme on the high end. But they come out as a team that is predicated on the run. And this is last year, and you have Cook's season, and then Allen does his thing on the ground as always, and they're more like a bully than they'd ever been. And then this year, remember the draft. I remember this. I saw a tweet from a guy, Max Toscano, that I read, who really knows his tight ends, last night. And I almost tweeted back. I don't know him, but I almost tweeted back at him like, Sal said this about Hawes. So we're recapping the draft. And the main story of the draft was how they leaned into defense again. Mm-hmm. And we didn't all like that. And the morning after the draft, Brandon Bean is calling us complaining about how we're, you know, viewing it and his wide receiver stuff. And like, okay, well, the discussion became between defensive draft capital and weapons. Yet, here's this guy, Hawes. And I remember talking to Sal probably that same Monday. And like, is he interesting? Like, what is this? And he said, yes. What they can do with him is basically replace Alec Anderson with him. And the difference is he's legal to catch the ball. Like, he's our actual tight end, not just somebody kind of playing that position, not an extra tackle who's in an eligible position. So that's the first first thing I remember hearing about Jackson Hawes, and the first conversation I know I had about him.
I remember it the same way. Yep.
Was Sal saying, well, here's the advantage with this guy. And then you ended up hearing Eric Wood mentioned it yesterday. We'll talk to Eric today. He's the best blocking tight end we've ever seen. All right. So did that seem like a need for the Bills? No. Knox has always been that. Knox kind of blocks Kincaid. But what do they want? They wanted Kincaid to get stronger. And he's done more blocking in three games than I've ever seen.
More effectively, anyway. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, he's in scraps last night, right? I mean, he's really in the middle of it. And scores, too. Also a good game receiving-wise. And here's Hawes, who, I mean, just like against the Jets, he is taking out Bradley Chubb right away. I'm like, with my wife, watch 85. He's a rookie. He went to Yale. Here's and Georgia Tech, right? But here's his story. And then the next time she looked up, it was like Judon. And we ended up talking about how he gets to wear orange socks. Like how that was something. But, you know, still, here's Hawes, like, taking Judon and taking Chubb. Like, they put a rookie tight end on edge rushers, and they're winning. And so then you get the touchdown.
Yes.
And the play before the touchdown, and you and I both bet Hawes to score a touchdown last night, you know.
I had it with other junk, so I didn't win anything.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, no, I didn't have it on its own because I'm an idiot. But, you know, whatever. Keep going.
I won 13-1.
Good. Yeah.
So the play before, the snap before, there's confusion and they call timeout.
And it was him. You saw, I think, Knox sort of consoling him as they went to the bench for the timeout. You know, because I think he said after the game, he botched that because all they did all week was walkthroughs leading up to the game. There was no full-speed practice. And I think he told I'm not sure who was conducting the interview, if it was just a group thing or whatever, but he said that's the first time I've done that, and I didn't have it. Like, I screwed it up because we hadn't run it full speed.
So I say to my wife, there goes the touchdown. Maybe this was going to happen. It's a long shot to begin with, but now he's made a mistake, perhaps. Oh, well. And on the play, which is right off the timeout, the next play or the same play, they lined up similarly, but he goes in motion and then comes and then slips.
Right.
And he's like inches away from wrecking the play. Like a half second earlier of the snap, Allen takes the snap, steps back, and just bangs into him.
Right. Probably a fumble or something. Like who knows? Right.
But he, you know, even with that, that is avoided, and he comes out. And what I liked about him on the catch is Allen, I mean, it's Josh Allen. He's coming around the end, and at a certain point on that play, what are his odds of scoring himself? Like, they're better than 50-50.
Yeah.
Yet, Hawes doesn't block anybody. He doesn't just sort of like this, all right, let's get our guy in.
Mm-hmm.
No, he does not, which is kind of interesting.
He presents
too.
Himself as a
That's
receiver.
Right.
Right.
That's right. He shows. And then Allen gives him the shovel, and then that's the touchdown, and we're all, you know, sorry. I thought you won, but big winners.
I feel like I won just because I called for it, and a lot of people followed along, so good for everyone.
Ostrowski gave you the credit on his show this morning.
I did.
Because you're the one who mentioned it to him.
I did, yeah.
And he went, and you said it later, he went looking for his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who?
Yeah, I felt Joe's eyes rolling as I laid that whole scenario out to him. I said, he's getting all this dirty work, he's getting all this credit, and certain kind of games. So I didn't exactly nail, because I thought it would be near the end of the game. If it's a certain kind of game, they'll give the guy, they'll you know, draw something up for him. And I finished that point, and Joe just goes, okay. It's like the verbal eye roll. Like, well, whatever, Bulldog. Sam, his partner, texted me during the game, who is Jackson Hawes? And I just replied to him, ask Joe. Because I brought it up and I got an eye roll. But anyway.
Sam is coming up next, and he mentioned on his show today, he texts all of us.
Yes.
Constantly. I'm not taking anything away from you, of course. Like, you know, he and I talk too. Same thing for me last night. So we'll talk to Sam Paniatovic. Bills 31, Dolphins 21. Take the weekend off. Bills at 3-0 and now 2-0 already in the division. For us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on this Football Friday. First, it's time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
On to the West, the rest of week three. I think I was at the game. I was up maybe later than you, though. No excuse. 1:45 in the morning. You know, that sausage pasta looks good right now.
I got home. I was so hungry when we got home. We had like a little bit to eat during the game, but not a lot. And I got home, and there was a whole pizza and a box of wings sitting there. My wife was at work, but she had ordered it, and it was there waiting for us when we got home. That was a huge dub for me.
Anyway, on to the rest of week three with some reflection on last night's Bills win over the Dolphins. Miami covers. Sam Paniatovic with us, the co-host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Odyssey Betting Insider. You can hear their show. He and Joe Ostrowski weekday mornings, 9 to noon. Sam, did you enjoy the game, mostly?
I did, but I have to call something out here. I'm not buying this two-drink Bulldog last night. I'm not buying that for 1 second.
Dude, it's the truth. I would tell you if I was dragging because I had six beers, I would say it. But really, one when we got in there, one when we got up to go eat in the second quarter. By the time I was thinking about another one, it's been 20 years, Sam, since I've been in there as a fan. By the time I was thinking about a third beer, it was close to the end of the third quarter, and I thought, do they stop serving beer at the end of the third quarter? Like, I remember that being a thing years ago.
They do, right?
I don't know. I didn't get up to go find out. I just thought, I'm not going to run up there, whatever. I'm fine. I'm good.
It's a good game.
Yeah. I didn't want to miss anything. The concourses are not great for watching the game on TVs. I learned that the hard way yesterday. So I didn't want to miss anything. So that really, it's the truth. Two beers. I know. I'll make up for it. Right. It's the weekend, Sam, and the Bills don't play till next Sunday, so I'm good to go.
Two's a bad number, though. One is worse than two. I'd rather have two than one. I'd much rather have five or six. Two's a bad number, though, because you're in that gray space and you don't know what to do next. But, okay, I'll believe it. I also, before I forget, I want to shout this out. You know, I take a train every week to New York. tell me how I wind up sitting right next to a Buffalonian who was so awesome. And she's telling me, you got to come to a game. I'll get you thrown through a table. You'll meet Pinto Ron. I'm like, whoa, slow down.
Was that
why do I bring out the best in everybody and everybody just wants to party? It was so fun. Amanda is her name. She's like, you got to get to Buffalo. I'll take you everywhere. I'm like, done. Let's do it.
Was that today going home to Boston or yesterday?
It was Wednesday afternoon.
Going to New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Buffalonians are awesome, maybe. Is the reason. Like,
everywhere. We need the work.
And you look like you might be fun, I suppose, right? So
yeah.
It all winds up.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Here's a man in Sam Panayotovich, so excited to bet the Cleveland Browns this weekend that Pens went flying on his show today. He was so excited to hear that the number one public bet was Green Bay. Not to your surprise, by the way.
Paul was really kind of screwing me up mentally on that one because he was shaping it that the Browns were going to be the most popular bet. And I hate being on the side of the betting public because the betting public generally doesn't win. That's very fair to say. And mm-hmm. I've been talking about the Browns all week, kind of making this an ugly, just mucky game. Browns ball. That's what they do. 17-15 somehow. Not even a likely landing score. Somehow it's going to be 15. I don't know how, but we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Their D-line is very good. I would argue it's elite. And the one thing about the Packers, guys, on top of the fact that they haven't played a road game yet, they've been shoveled a very easy schedule to start. Their O-line is a problem. And they've been kind of shuffling guys around. Neither team they face, Detroit or Washington, got to the quarterback. That's all Cleveland does. If Cleveland's good at one thing, what is it? Getting to the quarterback, lining up Myles Garrett all over the field. I took the Browns. I took 8. They could lose by 17, of course. It's the NFL, and they're not a very good team. I need Flacco to go wacko on Sunday, though, and cover 8.
I just can't get past the idea of Joe Flacco in the pocket with Micah Parsons. Like it's the same equation you're laying out for the Browns against the Packers, I think. Like, I just think Micah Parsons is going to decapitate Joe Flacco.
Well, that would be bad for me then, because then it'd be Shadur.
They do have four
right?
quarterbacks.
Shadur?
They do have four quarterbacks
Shadur,
at least.
Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, who's the backup? Shadur or Gabriel? I don't even know.
It's Gabriel. They moved Pickett. That's right. Well, that's the game, I guess, is what happens up front. Because if I'm Green Bay, and I don't want to bet Green Bay either, but that's the one thing I need to avoid. You know, and Detroit and Washington were kind of good teams that the Packers made look, you know, second rate in their two games. So we'll see. What are your takeaways from the Bills through three? You were very into, as we talked all summer, you know, the Bills as your Super Bowl bet, AFC East, couple them with other things, you can get a decent price. I mean, they're not at all disappointing, to say the least. A couple of games been close. I mean, last night might have been surprising to the general public that the Bills didn't win more easily. Is it wheels up entirely with them for you?
I'm trying to keep my composure. I'm very excited. I think the one thing that's really cool is that they can come out there against a team that is literally playing for survival, playing to save its season at 0-2. Those 0-2 teams, guys, we joke about how they're bad, but those 0-2 teams really care, and they cover a ton in week 3. It's a very historical trend. Mm. That's now 63-39 ATS in the last 102 games where the dog covers. When the dog is 0-2 ATS in week 3. So check the box again. Dolphins cover. It was pretty easy to cover that too, the 12 and the 12 and a halves. But the Bills come out there without, what, their two best defensive players? Milano doesn't play, Ed Oliver doesn't play, and they still play a game that's good enough to hold off a very punchy Dolphins team. The quarterback's unbelievable. And I told the story this morning on our show. I texted Sal after they threw a pass to some guy named Shavers. I go, who are these guys? Like, who are these guys he's throwing to? And Sal said to me, and I think it's a great analogy. I haven't heard him say it yet. He said Josh Allen is basically Magic Johnson. Just get the ball to the right guy at the right time. And that's the strength of this offense. And when they don't turn it over, they're as good as anybody in the NFL. And I trust that quarterback. As I said in the summer, I bet the Bills for the first time ever to win the Super Bowl because I believe in the quarterback. And in a tie game, down 3, down 4 points, fourth quarter, I believe in him. I believe in him more than Lamar. I always have. And I think it's crazy to see this Chiefs team. Now, I mean, look at the odds boards to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo is like 4-5-1. Kansas City's 15-1, and they have problems that I don't think they can solve right now. Buffalo's the team to beat. I felt that all year.
Sam Paniatovic, Chiefs at Giants Sunday night. The Ravens have the Lions on Monday night. That's interesting. And the Chiefs play the Ravens next week. So you could have 2-1-2 teams. I mean, the best they'll do is 2-1 versus 1-2 going into that game in week 4. Pretty good. I mean, the window is so open for the Bills. It's just so early. I think a lot of fans are going to want to be guarded because they've had great regular seasons, you know, including great starts. But it does look like maybe the conference is more available to them. Who else? Chargers, Sam? Like, are they, if it's not going to be Baltimore, I mean, kind of a fluke loss here, and they might just be on the Bills level or more. But L.A., is anybody else dangerous to you in the conference? Indy?
Harbaugh scares me, for sure. That guy's won everywhere he's been, going back to University of San Diego. The guy just won everywhere. He just builds it up, and he unleashes offenses because he's a quarterback guru. He played quarterback at the highest level, right? NFL quarterback. And he's got Herbert zipping that thing. I don't know how much Herbert you guys have seen this year. Mm-hmm. End of last year, that kid's a stud, man. And I remember watching him in the Rose Bowl when he was so awkward and gangly. Like, the talent was all there, but he hadn't matured as a guy who could stand in the pocket and go through his progressions. He has developed a ton under Harbaugh, and if their defense can stay healthy, they're legit. But every conversation starts with Buffalo, Baltimore, and then Chargers are third right now on the AFC list. Chiefs 4, Colts 5, Broncos 6. I could probably stop there. I could probably erase the Colts and the Broncos. I just don't see it with Bo Nix. But you're talking right now from a power rating standpoint, Buffalo, Baltimore basically at the top in the AFC. Chargers have a higher power rating right now than the Chiefs. Now, that number will be different on Kansas City when they get Worthy back, when they get Rashee Rice back. That team in week 2, week 3 is going to be a lot different than it is in week 8, week 9. But that's assuming health. I mean, if they're not healthy, Mahomes can't do everything by himself. And if Kelce keeps dropping touchdown passes because he wants to look good in his pantsuit and look good for the wedding, it's just not a team that looks like they want it anymore. Maybe that's not fair to say, but they weren't going nuts in that game against the Eagles. They were very passive and very calm, and that's why they lost.
Yeah, they'll get those guys back, but the question is, like, how far are they in a hole but when they get those guys back? You know, they're going to have to do some winning here without those guys to keep their season on track if they're going to be a top-tier team.
Schedule is not easy for them, too, and I think we just naturally assume that the Chiefs will figure it out and they'll be able to fix all this, but you know, you're probably going to beat the Giants because NFL favorites minus 4 or higher or don't lose anymore. I've got that on good accord. 90% since week 13 of last year. 90% they're winning at. Just outright, not covering, winning. So let's give them this win, right? All right, you're 1-2. Then you get Baltimore. They come to Arrowhead. At Jacksonville, home against Detroit, home against Vegas, home against Washington, at the Bills, at the Broncos. Holy crap, dude.
Right. Let's talk some college football. So how good of a weekend is this overall? We had the fun start, and then you had a week or even two where a lot of games were real mismatches. I know there are still a couple of those. But is it a pretty good weekend?
I think so. I love being able to turn on the TV at 12 noon and watch football until 2 in the morning if you got money on the Cal game or the Utah game. You reelers know. Look, this is not
Hawaii.
Popular. Hawaii. Hawaii in the over. No, don't do it. So I told Zach this, and even Zach gave me some pushback. Everybody's giving me pushback on this bet, which means it's going to win.
Texas.
And we've been doing pretty well on this show so far. Nobody, guys. Nobody is laying points with Texas here. They're laying 39 to Sam Houston State. Every show I've watched this week, everything I've listened to, every clip I see, Arch Manning stinks. He's a bust. Mm. Their offense is broken. They are going to pound this team. Sam Houston State's one of the worst teams in college football, and I'm not saying it's going to fix their season because I think Texas does have some underlying issues. I think it's 52-7, if not bigger. The number is 39. People don't want to lay it because Texas hasn't played good. If Texas was a stock, this would be the time to buy. They're going to name their score. I'm going to call my shot. We had Miami last week. Miami pounded South Florida. I think Texas destroyed Sam Houston State.
But that's not one of the, quote, good games, right? I mean, hopefully right, the weekend is better than, you know, a 40-point spread.
We view weekends much differently, Mike.
Yes, I guess.
Right, a good weekend is when you win a bet like that. That's a good weekend, right?
Yeah, you just want to watch all day. You don't care what the spread. Like, it's just, you know, the action, right? But what's the weekend's marquee game?
Probably Miami and Florida. That's okay. A huge game. Huge game for recruiting purposes, too. And you guys know I'm very high on Carson Beck. Got some Heisman bets on him. That's a big one for sure. Surprisingly, Illinois-Indiana is a huge, highly rated game. I mean, both teams are ranked.
That's weird.
Maybe people in Buffalo don't care about Illinois-Indiana. Auburn-Oklahoma is big for sure. You got Jackson Arnold, the former Oklahoma quarterback, is now the quarterback at Auburn, going back to Oklahoma. Two longtime SEC rivals, too, huh? Auburn and Oklahoma. Now.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, I like Missouri against South Carolina. In terms of, like, marquee matchups, this is not the biggest week. Next Saturday's huge, though. You got Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State.
You know what else we have next weekend, Bulldog? European NFL.
Oh, great.
Early. Get your lineups in early. Yeah. Minnesota and Pittsburgh next Sunday morning. So brace yourself. I think that's week four, isn't it?
And Sam, don't be dogging Indiana, Illinois. People were paying attention last week. I had Indiana minus 43.5 against the Larry Birdless Indiana State. And they won like 73-0.
That got home.
That got home.
That's
so.
Right.
Early in the year, I love the like stupid spread games in college football. Just I think I'm taking Virginia Tech minus some ridiculous number tomorrow against Wolford. Just because it's fun to say Wolford.
Yeah.
That reminds me, after the first – no, actually, this would have been the second championship with Tebow. Florida the next year was playing – good grief, Bulldog University or Shope State or something, and Florida was laying 69 points. I'm not making this up.
Wow.
69. And I had just started to kind of bet seriously. We're talking like late 2000s. And Bulldog U, Shope State, is getting 69. And I'm thinking.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Thinking, there's no way, right? There's no way they're not covering 69 points. At half, it was like 56-0, right?
Yeah. Well, always take the 69. Oh, no. Always take the 69 is the lesson. Sam?
This is very bad. 56-0. They covered, by the way.
They did. They covered the 69. How do you like that? Sam, thank you. I've enjoyed your show. We're both watching it, you know, most days. And it's always great to have you on here with us.
All right, guys. Peace and love.
See ya. Peace and love.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Paniadovich, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings 9 to noon, and he'll be on with Nick Costos Sunday morning. You can catch those shows on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app. Eric Wood. So Eric could not join us Monday this week, and actually he can't be with us next Monday either, but he will be with us today coming up in about 15 minutes to talk about last night's win. We're at 803-0550. We'll fit you in. Sal will join us at 5 today. Picks at 6. Look at our records so far. I think we might be off to the best combined start in the picks ever.
You are, what, 8-4? I'm 7-5, I think.
Now it's 9-4, 8-5.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
17-9. Should have told Sam.
I missed a game somewhere. We're doing great.
I don't want to, you know, assume anything.
I've lost two Thursdays in a row, though. I got to get it together on these Thursdays.
You weren't going to bet the Dolphins going into that stadium last night. I was going home, so I was happy to do it. Yep, we got the cover. Eric Wood coming up at 4, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.